Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. We've helped over 20,000 wedding parties get suited up. And here's the deal. You don't need to rent a suit. For about the same price, you can own one that's perfectly tailored for you. Over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make it so easy. Whether your groomsmen live nearby or out of state, we've got everything covered. Trust me, this is the easiest part of planning your wedding. Stop by Nick's Menswear and let us show you why we're the fastest growing suit company in the country. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo champ.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna
shout.
The Bills make me wanna.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here sitting in for Shopin' the Bulldog. And on the Western Hotline, we go to our own Sal Capaccio. And Sal, yeah, did you see this Teddy Bridgewater stuff? Like, the guy is just doing side quests out here.
It's incredible. I mean, I don't know if, I didn't see, like, video. You mean just the story, right? Is that
what
you're
asking? Yeah, just the
story, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, he went and he became the head coach of his alma mater, Miami Northwest, right? And they won the state title. And he's like, yeah, I'm done here. Let's go back to the NFL. I did what I had to do. It's crazy. It's great. Good for him, man. I love it.
I've really been enjoying, though, like some of these like players I grew up watching or what have you, like all of a sudden like getting into coaching. Like Michael Vick's going to Norfolk State. I thought Bridgewater would be following in that line. And instead, he's like, nice. I still got a year or two left in me. I can still do this. Like, good for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Should be pretty. We'll see what happens, though. I don't know. What the reasoning is for the Lions to want to go down that road. You know what I mean? So, it's interesting. It's an interesting story. And hey, if the Lions were to get to the Super Bowl, get a ring or something like that, and Teddy gets a ring for that, then good for him, I guess.
What an absurd year. All right, Sal. The Bills, though, were back on the practice field today. Was it essentially a walkthrough? Or is it full go for them?
No, it was a full practice. They did a full practice today. It wasn't they didn't have pads on from what I saw, but it was not a walkthrough. So yeah, they were back on the practice field today, and good news, on the injury front, Matt Milano moves from a limited participant to a full participant. No one else was downgraded. No one was downgraded, other guys who were limited were still limited. That includes all three safeties, who, by the way, were in a red non-contact jersey, all of them. Safety Damar Hamlin, safety Cam Lewis, safety Taylor Rapp, also wide receiver Curtis Samuel. The only other notable item was Tylon Grable, the offensive lineman, was excused for personal reasons. He did not practice today.
And Sal, this kind of goes to a conversation we were having just a few hours ago on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Kind of where does the puzzle pieces fit now with how many guys, particularly at the safety position, but to a large extent the secondary, how is that all going to fit now? Because you look at some of these past injury reports for the Bills, how they've been playing it this year. If a guy's limited for 2-3 days, it really does leave you questioning if he's going to play on Sunday.
For sure. I think, judging by what Josh Allen said today and judging by, I think, the way the team has approached what their goals are, they want to win Sunday to secure the 2 seed. Like, this is not this game doesn't matter. This game matters to them. They want to win. That being said, so I don't expect them to say, yeah, we're just resting people. That being said, they have to have the bigger picture in mind. And if the guys are very close, they might err on the side of caution again, just like they might have the last couple of weeks, and say, we're going to hold this guy back or hold that guy back. So I'm interested to see how they go here. We don't know. I mean, that's just something that remains to be seen from now until Sunday. I think the thing you can rule out, though, is them just, you know, sitting a mass amount of players. That's not going to happen this week. I'd be stunned. They're going to play, and they want to get the 2 seed, and that was indicated by Josh today. So, you know, I think that is the case. But we'll see if they have any of these guys who are limited right now, especially the DBs. Obviously, there's 3 of them, and then Curtis Samuel, who they say, all right, we're just not going to play that person in this game to make sure. And then if that's the case, that person probably wouldn't play next week either, right? Week 18. I think it would be, as long as you win this game, you secure it. If you lose this game, you have to win next week. It becomes a little different story.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline here. Sal, when it comes to other notable injury news from this practice, I would say, the most uplifting one being Matt Milano going from limited to full, but also based on the questions that were given to head coach Sean McDermott about him and Dorian Williams, what do you see going on there with the linebackers, and if there might be more of a rotation between Milano and Williams if both are healthy?
It's really interesting, right? I was a little kind of, surprised. I guess I was a little surprised by Sean's response, the way it was phrased. Matt Parrino asked him the question last week about Matt Milano, and it was on Monday this week. And he said, like, how do you determine, if Matt should be playing, if Dorian's clearly still, ahead of him, let's say, and however Matt phrased it. The bottom line is, what surprised me was it seemed like Sean was saying that they might have to just go with Dorian because maybe Matt's not fully back, because what he said was Matt is a team player. He'll respect whatever decision we make. He also did say Matt will get every opportunity to get back, which is kind of saying he's not there yet, which I think we all see. But to me, the plan was always just keep playing him. And then we're planning on him being ready to go rock and roll and close to full Matt Milano by playoffs. But maybe there's a hint of, we're not sure if that's going to happen, guys. So we really have to be ready to play Dorian Williams instead. I think this is going to be interesting. Now, I think what becomes even more interesting is Matt is 30 years old. He's come off a couple of these injuries. I mean, we know he takes care of his body, and he's a heck of a football player, no doubt about that. But if there's ever a guy that you think, okay, maybe this guy could rest, he would be one of those guys. But in this case, I don't know if you could do that, because you're trying to get him reps, right? You're trying to get him reps to get ready for the playoffs. So I think for him specifically, it becomes a bit of a kind of, what do we do here? It's a little back and forth of how you want to handle this.
Yeah, a bit of a crossroads there when it comes to Williams and how you want to handle Milano. Because like you said, he has injury history. He's 30 years old. He's a guy you'd want to be preferring to get rest, but he needs more reps right now, because once he came into the lineup, it was more than a year's time since he had taken a snap.
Yeah, I mean, Matt's had... Matt's an all-pro player, and his first year, was it his first year's rookie year, maybe second year, he broke his leg late in the year, right? And nothing you could do there. And then, he had a couple soft tissue injuries throughout his career a little bit. And then, of course, what happened last year with the leg, and it's unfortunate, it's a leg break. It's a pretty bad leg break in London. And then this year he comes back and he's ready to rock and roll, and he has the biceps injury. So, it's just been tough for him to get back out there. And as everyone will tell you, you can't replicate, game situations and game speed. We know Matt is a professional and he takes care of his body. But, I think this isn't like we're in week 8 here and you have time. You kind of have to be ready you have to know who is ready to go at their full speed to help you the most once the playoffs come. Now, is there a world where they could both help? I think there is. I think there's a scenario where maybe Dorian Williams is your early down linebacker and Matt Milano is your third down linebacker. I think there's a scenario where you could have both of them ready to go. And if you think one is just a better matchup, how about if you're playing the Ravens and playing base defense? Maybe that's something, because you actually have guys now. I mean, to me, that's a nice base defense. Now, granted, it's at the expense of Taron Johnson off the field, which I hate. But if you're going against the Ravens and you say, you know what, we can still cover tight ends because Matt Milano will be out there, and we can stop Derrick Henry possibly because we have 3 linebackers, maybe that's something you have to think about as well.
See, I was sticking with the injuries here, but to the offensive side of things, I want to bring up Curtis Samuel. He's been limited both days, and it appears to be a rib injury for him. It felt like, not that long ago, I'd say the Indy game and the KC game, it felt like, okay, this is the guy they spent, you know, however much money on, a three-year deal. It felt like it was really coming along, and now we're sort of back to what we were at the beginning of the year. I'd almost want to ask, like, what have you seen from him this year? But it, to a part of it, feels like the stat sheet is kind of telling a story here, plus all the injuries he's been dealing with.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know why it hasn't hit like that. And I think that, to me, what's really probably happened here more than anything is early in the, you know, it late in the preseason camp, he had the turf toe injury, and it just, he never was able to get kind of up to speed with the offense and Josh Allen, everybody, as quickly as hoped. And maybe that bothered him for quite a while, not really sure. But then once you start losing time, he's a new offense, right? Not necessarily new with, you know, Joe Brady, but, you know, as much as you want to be out there to say, okay, you know, he'll understand everything and understand the concept, you know, I think there is something to that, you know, chemistry and hitting, and it just never worked. But it just seems like also on top of that, he'd be banged up and have different injuries throughout the year. And he was on the injury report with the foot a couple of times. Now he's on the injury report with the ribs. So I think it was shoulder a couple of weeks ago. He had left the game with a shoulder injury against Detroit. That was a tough one. Listen, when they signed him, I've always been a big Curtis Samuel fan. I really thought that he would have a really nice season. I mean, going into the year, I thought maybe he could be the guy that could wind up leading the team in touches from a wide receiver spot, knowing what they wanted to do with him overall and how they wanted to get him the ball. It just hasn't materialized. Now, maybe he doesn't play this week, and then he rests week 18, and hey, who knows? All of a sudden, you get to the playoffs, you're like, hey, there's Curtis Samuel showing up. That would be a really good scenario right there, but I don't know if you can bank on that now, guys, just based on what we've seen or haven't seen this year and what hasn't happened.
Another receiver, too, Amari Cooper, Sal. His kind of emergence or even just kind of matriculation into the team has kind of been like under the radar just because the Bills kept scoring. But it's not injury-based, but his kind of, like, I guess, materialization into this Bills offense has also kind of been weird as well.
Yeah, it's like feast or famine with him, right? Sometimes it seemed like a couple games, like, okay, yeah, they're going at Amari Cooper. I think it was the Kansas City game, early in the game, he had that catch down the sidelines, right? I mean, and helped out. And then all of a sudden, there's like no targets or two targets or whatever. And I think the good news is, even with Amari Cooper not having targets and they're scoring 30 points, that's happened. And then you also know that Amari Cooper can make fantastic catches to help your team. So, you know, we'll see exactly, you know, where it goes with him. I have a feeling like last game, if you look at the way the Patriots played this team, they played a little bit more man-to-man, I think, that the Bills were used to and didn't expect from them. And I think in a normal game plan, like normal critical game situation, you probably turn to Amari Cooper a little bit more there. But I don't know if the Bills wanted to do that, because I wonder if they were just kind of holding some stuff back. They didn't want to put some stuff on film on what their man-beating concepts might be for teams that are going to face them that way in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm choosing to take what Allen said in the post game kind of at face value.
Right.
Just like, we don't want to show everything. But Sal, let's get to the Jets. I'm thrilled. This game's at 1 o'clock. It was not flexed. I was not scared it was going to be, but there was a lingering part of my thought process that was, we're not going to play another 1 o'clock game ever again. There's a storyline I do want to get to in this game, but what are their injury reports looking like? Because I know Rodgers, there was initially thought he wasn't going to play or have a chance to not play this week.
Yeah, he's going to play. Aaron Rodgers is going to play. He was a full participant for a second day in a row, but he is dealing with an MCL injury. That's out of his own words. He has an MCL injury. He's going to play, so I guess that would make him even a little bit less mobile, and he hasn't really been that mobile this year. But he's going to play in this game. And now, I do wonder. I don't know if we're going to see Sauce Gardner. He has now missed two straight days with a hamstring injury after leaving last game with a hamstring injury. Also today, Devontae Adams didn't practice for a second straight day. So you got Devontae Adams and Sauce Gardner both missing. Now, apparently, from what I read early today, it looked like Devontae was going to practice based on the fact that some of the Jets reporters said, oh, he's out here, but he's listed as a non-participant. So even though he's out there, he didn't practice. So you got Devontae Adams who didn't practice two straight days. Sauce Gardner who didn't practice two straight days. Morgan Moses in the same boat. He's an offensive lineman. And Elijah Vera Tucker. So, they have some really key injuries there for the Jets. Michael Carter, their cornerback, did come back to a limited participant after being a non-participant yesterday.
Sal, looking at the Jets, and of course, like everyone knows the disaster of a season that they've had, but it is even more shocking that they sit at 4-11, and yet they might be picking 10th overall in this draft if things fall basically as they continue to do here. Have you ever seen a season like this where, like, a team with a 4-11 record, possibly flirting with 4-12, might be picking as low as 9th or 10th.
Hmm. No, it's really funny, right? I was looking at this the other day where it's, the NFL prides itself on parity, right? I mean, that's what the whole league is like, oh, about parity, and we love to have all these teams. You know, there's a saying, somebody, I think maybe Colin Coward or something said this, so I don't want to steal it, but it's true. Like, everybody in the league kind of starts 8-8, and then if you have an elite quarterback, you get 10 wins. If you get that with a coach, you might be 11 wins, and then some bounces, you can get to 12. If you don't have a really good quarterback, you're probably a 6-win team. And then if your coach stinks, you're down to 5. Right? So I think that, like, you start at that premise. Everybody should be within, like, honestly, between 6 and 11 wins, let's say. This year, holy cow, guys, you have how many? 10 teams with 5 or less wins, and you have 8 teams already with 11 wins still with 2 games left to play with in most cases, right? I mean, it just seems like there's not much parity. You go to the 7-8 or 8-7 teams, there's a handful of them, but it just seems like everybody, it's either have or have not. There's a wide gap. I think you could even look at that and say, that's why, if you take a look at it, almost all the playoff seeds are like spoken for already. Like, not truly, right? Mathematically, there's still some things to be decided, but don't we kind of already pretty much know it's going to be Chargers and Broncos unless one of them really blows it over the last couple of weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And you have all 2 weeks to go. You have all 7 spots almost decided in both conferences, by the way. Yes, you still have to determine like who's going to win one of the divisions maybe in the NFC or the other two divisions, but we have 2 weeks left. How about week 18? They have to decide what game's going to be Sunday night. It's like, I don't know, man. Everybody's kind of spoken for here, you know? And I think it's really interesting. So getting to the Jets there, I haven't seen that. The other thing is, listen, if you asked almost any Jets fan who's been a Jets fan for a long time, they'll tell you that it's just been a lifelong of, you know, disappointment because most probably weren't alive when they won the Super Bowl, back with Joe Namath. However, the other thing they would tell you is, even despite that, this might be the most disappointing season in their lifetime. And I would say that because they had such high expectations with Aaron Rodgers, and he stayed healthy. He has played the whole year, and here they are 4-11.
Yeah, and their season just, it's been a myriad of issues, internal stuff. I mean, now Garrett Wilson's kind of coming out, and he's a little frustrated. Yes. Sal, I think as well, and this is the thing I wanted to touch on specifically with Rodgers, I am thrilled he's playing. In a season that you could argue might be one of the most disappointing in recent Jets memory, there's a really good chance Rodgers is going to throw his 500th career touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. In a season where I think a lot of Jets fans assumed there'd be a lot of celebrations, that would have been one of those games too where you can celebrate. You've got this guy on your team, and instead it's going to be one of those celebrations where it's going to be continued frustration of we got this guy too late. And, you know, our team is bad, or our team continues to be who they were. I mean, a few weeks ago, we're hearing about Woody Johnson taking a lot of his P's and Q's from his teenage sons who play Madden.
That story just kind of summed up a lot of what the Jets have been about, you know, in Woody Johnson's tenure as the owner for a long time. And do you guys think it's weird to think about, like, the best seasons the Jets had were under Rex Ryan?
It so much.
Right? I mean, you could go back to, I guess, you know, Bill Parcells did a nice job. I think they got to the AFC title game with Bill Parcells, actually, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But Rex Ryan went to back-to-back AFC title games with this team.
With Sanchez as his quarterback.
Yes,
they basically They basically didn't play home playoff games, and they're just going to back-to-back AFC championship games.
Yeah. I mean, they have the longest, playoff drought. Here's the other thing. If, I was looking at this the other day, too. The Broncos haven't done it yet, but the minute the Broncos actually clinch, the Jets' playoff drought will be double the next closest team's playoff drought in the NFL.
Whew. As a Sabres fan, I'm happy to hear that.
Man, I mean, that is tough, too. I mean, like, and that's, you know, funny thing. Like, we're looking at, like, two almost historical playoff droughts here. Like, once the Broncos clinch, it'll be the Jets and kind of everybody else. And then in the NHL, the Sabres are in the middle of a historic drought. Yeah, for a league, a lot of parity too, Sal. Like there can be times where it's like, nah, not really. Like, you have different playoff teams, sure, but championships can be
very close to the same.
Yeah, very rarely.
Yeah, and if you're a Jets fan, you know, you're thinking the future. You have a GM and a head coach you have to hire. And, I mean, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, there's only 32 NFL head coaching jobs in the world. There's only 32 NFL GM jobs in the world. So when people say to me, oh, who would take that job? I always like to point that out. But guys, like, that really is one of those jobs where, holy cow, like, if you're a really good candidate, you might just want to say, I just can't do that. Like, that might be really bad for my career, and not take that job. You know, if you're Ben Johnson, why would you take the Jets job? You're going to be in such demand around the league for head coaching jobs. Like, you could go to Chicago, or I don't know, what if the Giants are going to come up, and I don't know, the Giants might be a mess, but they're way more stable generally than the Jets, right? Like, it's just, I don't know what they're going to do. If you're a Jets fan, you're thinking about how all that's going to happen. And then what do you pick a quarterback? Does Rodgers come back? What happens? I don't know. Their future, their immediate future is so messy. It's even kind of, it makes it even harder to comprehend, you know, what's going on there.
Yeah, Sal, like, not to mention with everything that is a mess with that organization, like you mentioned, Ben Johnson kind of helped create a little bit of that trend. If you are a high demand coordinator, you are someone that teams are going to keep looking at right now. And if you're in a good position, in a good situation, there might be more of this trend of, like, the high caliber candidates are probably going to want to take their time and assess for better situations and better, better landing spots. And the Jets are in this no man's land of, you need a new head coach, you need a new GM. You probably are going to get a new quarterback too. And it's in a draft class where if I'm looking at the person right across from me and Zach, he's going to tell me it's shaky.
It's not good.
Yeah, no, I agree. From all indications, that's the case. I mean, listen, we're all looking at Shutter Sanders is very well going to be the number one pick, maybe the number two pick. But, you know, I mean, there's, and I'm not really that sold on him. I think he could very well be great. I have no idea. I love the fact that he might be. I like, you know, Dion and all that, the excitement. But, you know, that's, I think, a risky play, even though he is consensus to a lot of people, you know, the number one quarterback coming up. I'm not saying he necessarily is. You could debate that. But you guys know he's going to be a high first-round pick, and he might be the number one pick. But that's the whole point I'm making, which is this isn't like a Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels year. You know what I mean? I mean, this is one where if you need a quarterback, it's probably not the year, really, to be picking where these guys are picking.
And that's
Sam
where
Darnold, baby.
And that's where that ninth overall, yeah, where they currently sit, really is a problem. Because last year, by ninth overall, what was it, four quarterbacks taken? So you're already looking at the fourth best, even in a loaded class. So they're in a really, really weird spot. And, of course, this is the year where there are so many teams that are somehow worse than you, even when you've bottomed out. So, well,
let's see the top. Who needs it? That's okay. Let's go. I have the Jets at 8, by the way, according to Tankathon. But either way, okay. I have them at 8th right now. So let's just say who needs a quarterback ahead of them. Let's go in order. Giants, yes,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Patriots, no. Jaguars, no. Titans, I think they might now, right?
They might.
They've kind of gone away. They've kind of said Will Levis isn't our guy in their own way, right? Browns? I don't think so.
Joe's kind of locked in on the idea that they're going to keep watching.
Raiders for sure. Yeah. That's 3. That's 3 at least. Panthers, no. So that's 3 at least right there. But that, now what if teams want to jump you up? What if New Orleans wants to jump up, right? What if what if another team wants to jump up? I mean, yeah, so you're probably looking at 3 ahead of you that want a quarterback. You're getting at probably at best the 3rd, maybe the 4th or 5th.
Yeah. What if Dallas wants to jump up there and get Sanders?
Speaking of Dallas, by the way, did you see the breaking news? CeeDee Lamb has been shut down for the year. If you have him in your fantasy league,
that's
your championship,
tough.
He is not playing.
And he's been one of the more consistent receivers in football, even with the change of quarterback from Dak being injured to Cooper Rush. Yeah.
Sal, one more for you on this with the division and everything like that, because, you know, the Bills, they play the Jets to wrap up that series, and then they play the Patriots again. I said this on Sunday. I'm starting to think New England might be the team, if they get things in order with the coaching ranks there, they might be the next closest threat to Buffalo within these next couple of years, because Miami might even need to hit a reset button of sorts.
Yeah, Miami's interesting, right? Look, I think of all the teams in the East outside of the Bills, I think I'd rather be the Patriots right now going into the immediate future. They have the quarterback. I like him. He looks good. We'll see what happens. I think he looks like a good young quarterback, mobile, smart. You know, everything we saw last week looks really good. They haven't surrounded him great. The only question about them is, do they have the right coach? And I think that's a legitimate question. But guys, they also have the most cap space in the league, like, by a lot. And they can go out there and they can spend some money. Now, how they do it, I'm not really sure. Like, is all that going to work out for them? But the Jets, we just talked about. And then Miami, interesting. Obviously, you like having Tua. If he can stay healthy, he's a really good quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill, he's getting older, and they have a big salary cap number. Are they going to move on from him? I don't know. They have a lot of guys that have to decide on that. On the, you know, on who am I thinking of? Jalen Ramsey on defense. You know, guys like that. They have just guys. They have guys come back from injury that we still don't know. Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. And then these guys are making a lot of money. So I agree with you. Could be a bit of a reset there. They're still more stable than the Jets. But I think the prospect of the Patriots. I would say this, too. All that being said, I think it points to when we get to the offseason, regardless of how this season ends, we're feeling way, way better about the Bills' position going into next year than I think anybody felt about them going into this year.
Yep, 100%. All right, Sal, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We'll be listening tomorrow morning from 10 to 12 for the Extra Point Show.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was Sal Poncho there on the West Her Hotline. Bills head coach Sean McDermott also going to join Sal tomorrow morning. Yeah, the Jets thing. I saw that right before Sal came on, the 500 touchdown passes in a brutal year. I mean, isn't that just kind of another just painful
It's another
reminder?
Middle finger.
Yeah, yeah. Of just like, yep, and it didn't go well for you.
Yeah, it's like, and where did that get you? You got one more milestone. Ugh.
Yeah, it's
there's the bird.
I don't feel bad for Jets fans, but there is something that is deeply hysterical that their last really successful run was Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez.
Good Lord.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer sitting in here for Shope and the Bulldog. Coming up in about a half hour, Ross Tucker will join the show. We'll get more on the NFL, Bills' upcoming game against the Jets, and plenty more when he jumps on with us. This is WGR.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Locking up the two seed is the number one priority, and that all that does is guarantee us two home playoff games. Again, you gotta win the first one to get the second one. So that's all we're caring about is going out there this week and just trying to play good, sound football and our type of brand that we know how we can play.
There is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen talking about what the ultimate goal is for this team this week, which is going to be locking up the two seed. They need to just win one of their next two games, Jets and then a trip to Foxborough to take on the Patriots for the second time in 3 weeks. Absolutely despise that, Derek, by the way. Absolutely hate
Why is that?
It. I don't love how we've had to wait literally to December to play a divisional team for the first time. That makes no sense to me.
That is weird. Like, you haven't seen them for the first time all year. Yes. I don't mind the three division games to end a year thing.
Oh, no, that I actually prefer. That's great.
But it's also, that part's weird. It was made even more weird when you clinched the division before you saw the last one.
Yeah, and the AFC East was not good this year.
But that's what I think makes it even more weird. That's probably what has it a little unsettling.
Mm-hmm. You never had to play him. You never had to do anything. A big part of it, too, was New England itself was not in competition or in contention.
No, they were already like out of things very early on.
But before you even play them, you're like, dude, this game literally simply doesn't matter outside of like potential playoff seedings. Like,
that's it.
Like, that's all that mattered. And again, and me and Sal were talking about it there when he was just on with us. Like, I'm choosing to take Allen at face value, what he said in the postgame. They're in a weird spot. They don't want to show too much. They know they're in the playoffs. They know they're hosting a playoff game. Now, if they get the two seed, there's a good chance they're going to host two. If Kansas City gets upset, they're going to host three. But they already kind of know they're getting that home playoff game, and now they just got to win one of these next two, or Baltimore loses one of these next two.
Well, no, Baltimore only has one left.
That's right. They played yesterday. So they lose week 7 or 18.
But they have to play Cleveland, which is typically a Baltimore win.
And especially now that James Winston's not even playing.
And you have something to play for. Even historically, they are... Their rivalry kind of rivals Buffalo versus Tom Brady.
Yeah.
With how bad it is. So I wouldn't go ahead and like think about anything else other than that. Like, Baltimore has something to play for. The Browns are terrible. Oh, and you always seem to clean out the Browns. So Baltimore is probably going to win out here.
The Browns are just the ugly stepchild of the AFC North. Like, at least Cincinnati's had pretty good years. You know, you go back to like the 70s, 80s,
was
Ken
trending
Anderson.
That way. And then they went, no, we like going back to basements.
Yeah, but like everyone in that division's had their run. Maybe not Super Bowl runs, but like have had their runs. Cincinnati, Ken Anderson, even Carson Palmer, but like, currently with Joe Burrow.
2020, Baker.
Yeah.
Baker with Cleveland gives Kansas City a run for their money.
They beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
Yeah, soundly.
Yeah.
And then Baker hurts his shoulder. Jimmy Haslam says he wants an adult at quarterback. And then picks the most immature person in the world.
Just insane verbiage. Just insane thing to say.
Yeah.
I'm with Sneaky Joe. I don't know how much he's brought up on air, but we've talked a lot about it off air of this feeling. And Nate Geary's brought it up too. Of the feeling that Jimmy Haslam is just not going to pay Deshaun Watson for 2 years to not play football, that they will go back.
They'll go back to him.
And I just,
oh my God.
How do you sell it to your fan base?
Ready?
How do you sell that?
Ready? Here's how. You trot a raw DTR out there to show people it could actually be worse.
And then everybody's going to go back to the Jameis Winston stats and like, I mean, he threw picks, but it was way better when he was playing.
It was better.
Jerry Jeudy will be like number one leading the charge going, guys, it was way better. I was awesome.
But even Jameis Winston was enough of a tire fire at times that you can actually go ahead and go, see, he's not that bad, guys. And it's this weird, weird thing. And just, wow, what Cleveland is and what they continue to be by choice after they thought that, after we all thought they had a good thing going. To then go back on it.
They were kind of one of those like lovable teams that like, yeah, they've been bad forever. I mean, they had of the modern era, the second winless season after Detroit's 07-16 run.
And Baker.
Well, they land Baker, but then, you know, Nick Chubb's really cool out of the gate. Myles Garrett's one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. And there was this feeling like, oh, and Cleveland's also making like LA, New York kind of moves. Like, who do they think they are trading for Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes.
You know, they go and get Jarvis Landry. They were cool for a little while.
They were very cool, especially in 2020. And then Baker's got the swagger. It gives you that, you know,
even
Baker, we'll take on the world mentality.
Even Baker's first start, or he got in for an injured Tyrod Taylor. I think he was gotten for an injured Tyrod Taylor. It was Monday Night Football against the Jets. They hadn't won since not even the year prior, the year to prior to that.
Yes.
And I remember like Cleveland was like they had like these Coors Light machines that if they won, they'd open up and be free beer for everybody.
I think it was Bud Light, but yeah.
And Baker just goes out there.
One of those.
He has a receiving touchdown or a two-point conversion, whatever it was. He's got the cool swag walk again, like to the camera. Like they were cool.
They were cool.
And they ruined all of it.
But then the Kansas City Chiefs, hey, look at that team always ruining fun things. We could have had a battle of Lake Erie for the AFC Championship, but no. Chad Henne has to go run for the first down.
Yeah.
And it's like, God,
I remember watching
that goofy team in Missouri stop ruining everything cool.
I do remember watching that game.
Nobody likes you anymore.
Deeply frustrated with the with the Browns, like deeply frustrated.
Because that you want to talk about games that you can look at and go, okay, they could probably win that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's not the game after 13 seconds where you have to face Cincinnati. For me, that's Cleveland in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, and you're hosting them,
and you're hosting Cleveland. For the right for one of these two guys from that draft class to go to the show.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That would have been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Because you would have gone, 2019 would have been Lamar Jackson winning
MVP. Granted, you're staring at Tom Brady in the face on the other side there, but...
Sure, but like it would have been, that draft class, I mean, that would have been documentary worthy alone, right? I still think it's going to be a class that gets like the 1980s.
Especially with
treatment.
Darnold's turnaround.
I think Darnold's turnaround has solidified.
Mayfield
for me.
Too, like,
and well, yeah, Mayfield as well. But like, there was an early part there. Yeah, you get 2019. Lamar goes off, wins his MVP first year of starting the full season because he did not obviously start his rookie season. He got there later, starts his first full season, wins the MVP. Then 2020, you have Josh Allen's emergence. In the middle of that, you've got Baker becoming something, and ultimately, for most NFL draft classes, if you have three quarterbacks who are playing like clearly going to be franchise guys, that's a home run for a
you've
draft
already
class.
Locked up like you're one of the better draft classes.
And then you look at how Lamar and Allen particularly were playing. It was like you have two freaks of nature playing the game. That is Elway, Marino.
You have two yearly MVP candidates.
Yep. And then, you know, Cleveland destroys it. But you're right. The recent years, Darnold is going to get a massive contract. We brought up there with Sal how
and it's
bad.
Be interesting to see how he follows up.
How he follows it up, well, especially, I'm a big Kevin O'Connell guy. I think what he has done for Minnesota is nothing short of spectacular.
Yes.
I mean, what he's been able to do with Kirk Cousins at the end of his career, and then when Cousins is getting hurt last year, Josh Dobbs going in mm-hmm. and winning games and stuff like that. His first year there, they kind of snuck in the playoffs, and the Giants kind of exposed him a little bit because of the one-score games and such. But now, like, they're in a neutral stance. Oh, really fun position. They are going to be one of the coolest teams to talk about in the offseason because what do? Do you go with Sam Darnold, who finally looks like the prospect everyone liked out of USC? Does still have some of the turnover issues, but the arm talent is clear, and the team is winning. And he's going to put up, you know, 4,000-yard season, 32-plus touchdown passes because he's at that now. And they might get screwed into, oh, you're the first 13-win wildcard team. Congratulations. Or, because they've got a really nice run here where you got Green Bay and Detroit, they could still win the North. Let's say, for argument's sake, that happens. They go 2-0 in the stretch. They win the North.
Not just the North, the one seed.
the one seed, because
they would win the one seed.
It's now looking like Hurts is not going to play again, so now all of a sudden even they won't even give you a run.
Also, they have the same record the Lions do. Yeah. They win out, it's the one seed.
Yeah. Like, what do? You just took J.J. McCarthy.
And you also have the top-tier talent in place. Jefferson's there. Addison's there. Why even bother starting over?
Everything is there, but you took McCarthy in the top 10. And he does, and I'm maybe not the right person to ask about like where I sit with McCarthy and Darnold. I was a huge McCarthy stan. I think him playing at Michigan downplayed what his actual abilities are. I think Michigan asked him to do exactly what he did incredibly well. I think he's unbelievable. I think he has all of the talent in the world to be perfect, and I think he's also like what every head coach wants their QB to be.
He tore his knee.
He did.
That's not an easy thing to come back from away.
And while every report was, it's not that bad, we're not going to say a cleanup job, but it's essentially a cleanup job, he did have to have another surgery in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do? Are you the Jets or the Giants or the Saints or the Titans? Do you try to trade for McCarthy while you let Minnesota spend big money on a quarterback? They're already in that situation now.
Especially since we were talking about this with Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many of those teams need a quarterback?
And they're sitting there going, I don't like Shador. I don't like Cam Ward. I don't like Quinn Ewers. I like McCarthy better than all these guys. I'd rather spend high, get him. He's already sat now for a year in a good NFL system. And if his knee's okay, you're getting a really good guy who's gotten to sit, marinate. That was his biggest issue for me coming out of college.
What about L.A.?
He was young.
The Rams.
The Rams, yeah.
Because then you can go into a transitionary phase with still having all that talent on the offense and have Stafford ready
to
finish his career,
mm-hmm.
and have McCarthy ready waiting in the wings, and it didn't cost you a high draft pick to do it. Because if you're trading for McCarthy, you're probably giving up a second rounder at that point, two.
It's like a car leaving a lot. The value deteriorates.
The value
the moment
depreciates.
It leaves the lot.
But even if you pay, like, say, next year's first rounder,
mm-hmm.
it's not a bad price.
Let's not act like the Rams aren't willing to do it.
And it's not going to be in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're solid.
You're a solid
football team.
I'm a McCarthy guy. So I would keep him because I think he will be better than Darnold. And you'll get him cheaper for a few years.
But if I'm LA and I offer a 2026 first rounder, so that allows a little bit of mystery of like maybe they fall off the map.
Yep.
But also if I'm the Rams, I'm keeping my first rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's enticing enough. I'm paying enough for it. Or I give you 2 seconds. I would think the Rams want to keep their current picks right now so mm-hmm. that they can stockpile. But if I offer a 2026 first-round pick to Minnesota, there's a little bit of mystery of like that could fall into like anywhere at that point. But also, you're getting a return on investment there still.
I hadn't thought about the Rams as the team that could do it. I kept thinking of teams that like just straight up don't have quarterbacks.
I stared right at the team sitting in third place in the NFC and going, they wouldn't need to like fight their way into a top 10 position.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a guy who was a top 10 pick.
And he's young.
And it suddenly becomes this new mystery. Oh, and by the way, I'm the Rams going, I just traded for J.J. McCarthy and he's got Sean McVay.
He's essentially running
the city. Look what he did with Jared Goff.
But not even that. It's not. Let's not act like he's learning a completely new offense.
No.
Kevin O'Connell, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. There's probably different verbiage.
There's wrinkles.
But it can somewhat be considered the same offense. And he's been sitting with O'Connell this whole year.
And it becomes beautiful.
Oh man.
This new sudden reset for the Rams, where they had this like F them picks and all this other stuff. But guess what? Now you can do that and have a young quarterback and have the talent around him and build around it.
Last thought on this: if they win a playoff game, I think they keep Darnold. I think they keep Darnold.
Yes.
Because I will say the same thing, and I was not in the building when it was happening. I think if the Bills beat the Jaguars with Tyrod, and it's a much different situation, I think they keep Tyrod Taylor. If they beat Jacksonville to win a playoff game that first year, I think there's a really good chance they keep Tyrod and build around him instead of going into the 2018 draft class. Look how many picks they had to trade up to go get their guys and all that stuff. I think if they won, they would have just, let's build what we've got here.
They also traded a player that was at the time your starting left tackle, and he was solid in Cordy Glenn.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Ross Tucker coming up in just over 10 minutes to join the show, talk a little bit of the NFL season thus far. MVP conversation, of course, as well. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer sitting in here for Shope and the Bulldog. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer sitting in for Schopen the Bulldog today. Coming up in under 10 minutes, Ross Tucker will join the show. Talk more on the NFL season. The MVP race clearly has heated up. I do want to get a thought, though, on the Philadelphia Eagles with him. We were just talking about it in the break. Jalen Hurts not practicing again with that concussion. Although the teams they've got left, we were just looking at, they really may not need Hurts.
Ready? It can get diabolical with the Eagles these next two games. You hand that ball off to Saquon Barkley for these next two games against Dallas, and then, oh, who do they end the season with, Zach?
The Giants.
They end it with the New York Giants, which then you just give the ball to Barkley as many times as you need to break the record against the Giants.
I need a corner camera in John Mara's booth, box, whatever you want. His reaction every time Saquon touches the ball.
Again.
I need a live reaction.
Again.
Like a Jerry Jones type.
The entire time, yeah. The entire time. Right in the corner.
Diabolical. The amount of evil you can put into that. The only thing that would scare me as a Philly fan with that approach is you're going to run Saquon into the ground before the playoffs?
Yeah, it's less than great.
Less than great. Basically, the problem is Philly's facing the Cowboys and the Giants in the next 2 weeks. If Jalen Hurts cannot play, they could still beat the Giants and the Cowboys with Kenny Pickett. Because you lost the game against Washington, but that's Washington. They're a playoff team this year.
And it took a lot for them to actually get you.
Yes. But now you're at backup quarterback against backup quarterback. Cooper Rush with no CeeDee Lamb
mm-hmm.
versus Kenny Pickett. And the Eagles offense has all of its other weapons outside mm-hmm. of Hurts.
Now, I will say this, though, for Saquon, because the idea here is to let him get a chance at the rushing record. To tie it, he would need 267 yards over the next two games. Over the next two games. To break it, 268, obviously.
That's doable against the Cowboys and Giants.
It is doable.
Particularly the Giants.
It is very doable.
If he gets, say, what, 125 against the Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound reasonable?
I'd almost say that'd be like a weak game for him.
No, ready? Yeah, that's the thing. I'm giving credit to the Dallas defense.
Yeah, he just had 150 against Washington.
So, ready? Say he gets 125. What does he need then? 148 or 143? Did we do the math on that?
I think so.
So 143 against the Giants. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
Oh man, the last week of the season, even with a lot of like the playoff spots,
depending on what happens with Dallas, Saquon might get the rushing record in the second quarter against the Giants, and then you can sit him.
Oh, that's really diabolical.
Like
I'm telling you, dude.
Diabolical.
The camera in the corner of the box.
It gets
John Mara the entire game. It break records for viewership.
You know when people say that there's a script writer for the NFL? Give me that thing. Give me that job.
803-0550, the number
9 Super
two
Bowls
call.
For the Bills.
9 Super Bowls. Coming up after a quick timeout, Ross Tucker joins the show for more on the NFL. Eagles, Bills, Jets coming up, and the MVP, of course. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer sitting in for Schopen the Bulldog, and this is WGR.